Have you ever thought to yourself or been convicted of the fact that you sit back and say, you know what, there's something that I want to do to serve the Lord. I may not have a whole lot of talent, but I know there's something that I can do. I just don't know what I can do. And, you know, sometimes we make those comparisons. We say, well, I don't have the same opportunities and gifts that this person has, but I have a little something. I hope and trust and pray that first of all, you have found that and you're exercising that for the ability of our Father. But if not, there's good news for you. Today, we're going to continue our look at the letters to the seven churches, and we're going to look at Philadelphia and the open door. So grab your Bible. Come on back in just a moment. We're going to be looking at Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 through 13. See you in just a second. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're so glad that you have decided to join us this evening. I mentioned just a moment ago, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of Revelation chapter 3, particularly verses 7 through 13. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn over to those passages with me. I know that there are times that in our spiritual walk that we get weary. I mean, there are many times that I've said to myself, I said, you know what, there have been times that in my, you know, 33 years of full-time ministry that I get tired in the ministry. But I will say that I've never gotten tired of the ministry, and they're two completely different things. Oftentimes I'll run into some folks and they sit back and say, well, you know, I just really don't know how I can serve, and I don't really know what to do. Too often we want to do this cookie cutter model with our churches. I know that over the years people have come and they said, well, I don't know where I can fit in on the things that the church offers from the nominating team. I don't do this. I'm not good at accounting. You know, I'm not deacon material. I'm not Sunday school teacher material. But there are some things that I feel like I have that I can do. I just don't know which way to go with those. And maybe that's you. Maybe there have been those opportunities. Often I have said it's not about a church coming to you and saying, well, hey, here's what we do. Where do you fit in? But I've often said to folks, listen, tell me what you do. What talents and abilities has God given you? Because if he's brought you here to serve him, then obviously we may need to make another line on the nominating committee and put whatever it is that you do on that and allow you to be able to serve him through those. But so often people won't want to do that. They sit back and say, well, you know, I just don't have all of the tools necessary to be able to pull this off, and I don't even know where to begin. Well, today, in our passage today, we're going to find out that God opens doors. Keep that in your thought, because that is huge. There are a plethora of doors in life, and yet God's going to open the doors that you need to walk through. Look with me, if you would, at Revelation chapter 3, and we're going to begin reading at verse 7. Revelation chapter 3, beginning with verse 7, says, "And to the angel of the church at Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the keys of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you, because you have kept my command to persevere. I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have, and no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we just ask once again that you give us spiritual wisdom and insight into your word. I pray, Lord, that you will truly help us to understand what you are talking about concerning the open doors and, Lord, the perseverance that you want us to maintain as we have to walk in this place called the world Lord, help us, strengthen us, and encourage us as your children to be able to continue for the journey. Lord, I've often said, give us strength for the journey, because that is what we need so much of. So help us, Father, during this time. Lord, as always, I just ask that you would use me as your messenger for these moments. Help me, Lord, to truly magnify you and lift you up, that all men might be drawn unto you, because you are God and you are worthy, and we certainly are not. So, Father, bless the time that we will spend together as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now, as we begin to look at our passages today, first of all, we're seeing that the church at Philadelphia is being addressed. You know, so I'm going to kind of take it in sections and answer questions that often I have heard throughout this particular section of Revelation, as is concerned to Philadelphia. But first of all, you have to ask the question, who is addressing the church in Philadelphia, and how is he described? Well, Jesus is the one who is addressing the church, as described by this, him who is holy and true, who holds the keys of David. That is the description of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So he is the one who is making the address to the church at Philadelphia. Now, the titles attributed to Jesus signify a couple of things along the way. There are certain things that we need to understand about God. First of all, we need to understand that he is sovereign. What does that mean? Now, I know oftentimes you hear this word sovereignty, and sometimes it's designed to lead people down some paths that the Lord never meant them to go down. But I've often defined God's sovereignty as this: God can do whatever he wants to whomever he wants, anytime that he wants to, and be justified in doing so. So he is sovereign. So the titles that are given to him are attributed to his name. First of all, his sovereignty. Second, his holiness. And then third, his authority. Notice what it says. It says the keys of David. And that suggests control over salvation and of the kingdom. Now, you might ask yourself, say, well, that can be a little bit thick, but think about it for a minute. Who has control over salvation? It is Jesus himself. Well, God the Father through Jesus the Son. But the one thing that we know is this: he has control, because no man comes unto the Father but by the Son. So, you know, if you don't trust in Jesus, you're never going to see the Father in heaven. That is what the Word of God plainly tells us. You can't sit back and say, well, I don't believe Jesus existed. I don't believe in the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection. Because if you sit back and say that, then you have thrown out everything that is necessary for you to acquire salvation. Jesus, what did he say? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the light. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So we have to recognize his authority, and recognizing the authority and holiness of Jesus should lead us to trust in his plans as well as his promises for our lives. Do they do that? You know, are we acknowledging his power over our lives in every area of our life? You know, I've often had conversations with folks who, you know, I'd share the plan of salvation with them, and they, in their heart of hearts, and through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, they wanted to trust Jesus, but the problem was they were having trouble giving up who they were. They understood the fact that when they said yes and I do to Jesus, they no longer belong to themselves. You have been purchased with a price. You have been bought with the blood of the Lamb. And in doing so, then you give our Lord and Savior control over your life. So we have to recognize his authority. We have to recognize his holiness. And we have to recognize his plans and promises for our life. And so often, you know, people don't want to do that. We like to be in control. Now, if I was standing before my church, often I'll do this and I'll say, where are my control freaks out there? Let me see your hand. And I have a lot of hands that go up. People like to be in control. Sometimes I'll put that another way. I'll say, well, when you're in a car, would you rather drive or would you rather ride with somebody? And it would surprise you the number of people say, I'd rather drive. Well, why do you want to drive? Because I know I'm in control. I know how I drive. I trust my driving. So we have a few control freaks. So first of all, we've identified who it is that is addressing the church at Philadelphia in our scripture text today. So question number two is, what is the open door that he is referring to in verse 8? Okay, well, the open door is often interpreted as opportunity for ministry, opportunities for service, and opportunities for witnessing. Remember what we were talking about as we began our Bible study today? How many times have you sat back and said, well, you know what, I don't fit in the cookie cutter nominating committee jobs, you know, for my church? Or you know what, I feel like I may have this as a talent or ability, and I want to parlay it and use it for Christ, but I just don't know how to do that. Folks, let me make you a promise that the scriptures tell us here today. There is going to be an open door. The Lord is going to open a door for you to be able to use what He's given you for His honor and for His glory. Now, I think I have to add right here that it's key what I just said. For His honor and for His glory, not for yours. There are often times that I will see people who will have a gift in something. The problem with it is they're not using their gift and talent and ability for God's honor and glory, but they're using it for their honor and glory. They're using it so they can get ahead, not to be parlayed into something that the Lord would prefer them to use it for, walking through that door. So what do we see? He's telling the church at Philadelphia that there's going to be this open door. There's going to be an open door for ministry. There's going to be an open door for service. There's going to be an open door for you to be able to witness to others. You see, Jesus sets this door before them, and I love what the word says, no one can shut it. Now, that is signifying divine opportunity that is secure from opposition. I love divine opportunity. I believe that with all of my heart. I have actually used the term before, divine appointments, and I believe that God has those for each and every one of us. I believe that God has placed you in the sphere of influence and in the sphere of people that He has placed you because they need to hear your story. They need to hear what God is doing in your life. I love the fact that for years and years, we always called it witnessing to somebody else. But yet we feel like that to witness to somebody else means that we either have to have the Romans Road down pat, or we need to do the faith plan or evangelism explosion or all these things that we may have gone through in the past. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that if that's what the Lord leads you to do. But I've often said this as well. When you think about being a witness, the only thing a witness can testify to is the things that they have seen and the things they have heard personally. If you look at those in terms of law, to testify to what somebody else saw is called hearsay. So the Lord didn't call you to be a hearsay spreader. He called you to be a witness. So what has the Lord done in your life? What have you seen Him do? What have you experienced in your life that you can share with those around you, your story? That's what they need to hear. That's why God has placed them in a meticulous position in your life for them to be able to hear your story and have the opportunity to trust Him. So Jesus has set this door before the church at Philadelphia. He sets that door before you and I as well. And along that way, He provides divine opportunities that are secure from opposition coming before them. You know, I've often said this, as long as God's not done with me, I am invincible. Nothing's going to take me off this planet 1 second before the Lord has it written down, and there's nothing that's going to take that any earlier than what the Lord says. And I'll tell you another thing, He's not going to take me until He's done with me. Until He is finished with the plans that He has for me, I am safe and secure and sound right here on this planet. Now, it may happen in a moment's notice that He calls you home, but the question is, are you ready and are you prepared? So, for the Church of Philadelphia, Jesus is saying He has put before them the door, an opportunity, an open door with divine opportunity that is secure from the opposition. And you and I experience the same thing. Man, look for those divine appointments in your life. I promise they're there. Look for those times when you can share with somebody what the Lord's done in your life and what He has done for you. See, as believers, we should actively seek and walk through the opportunities that God presents us, and we should do it in confidence that He is the one who has opened the doors according to his promise. We don't just go out there and try to start something. Look for where God is working and go join him. That's not original to me. That was in the study Experiencing God, which, by the way, is phenomenal. If you haven't done that, that's a great place to start. But Henry Blackaby says, it's not up to us to just conjure stuff up. He says, find where God is working and go and join him. Okay? So as active believers, we should actively seek and walk through the opportunities that God is presenting us, and we should do so with the confidence that he opens the doors according to his purpose and not ours. Okay? A third question that's often asked, or that we may ask ourselves as we go through this particular passage, is how does Jesus encourage the church despite their limited strength? Notice what he says. He says, you have a little strength. Now, that didn't mean that they were tremendously strong in what they were doing. I'm sure that they were tired in the ministry as well. But he didn't say you were dead, like he said to Sardis. He said, you have a little strength. And what he meant was, you're not the most powerful, but you still have a little bit of strength behind you. Okay? So how does Jesus encourage the church despite that limited strength? Well, he commands their obedience and faithfulness. Okay? Did you hear those two things? Obedience and faithfulness. That's what he is commending them for. You guys have been obedient to what I've asked you to do. You have been faithful to carry it out. And in doing so, he is promising protection and acknowledgement for their steadfastness in being obedient and faithful. He says, because you have, I am going to protect you. Know this, and I am going to acknowledge to others what it is that you have done. Have we been faithful and obedient? You know, I love what the Word says. The Lord says, you know what? He says, that. What do I desire of you? I desire you to be faithful and obedient to me. He said, that's greater than any monetary gift that you could give or anything else. He says, be faithful and be obedient. Can we say that we're doing that as we walk through our life today and as we go through the days that God has given us on this earth? He's got a plan for us. He's got a purpose for us. He's opening doors for us. Are we being faithful to walk through them? Are we being obedient to walk through them? You see, Jesus recognizes and values faithfulness over sheer strength or size. So many times we look at the big giant. You know, I've thought about this in a church context before, but I mean, you have some of these churches that are mega churches and they run thousands and thousands of people on a Sunday morning, and then you got this little church over here that might be running 25 or 30. Let me tell you something. God looks at that 25 or 30 in that church just as he would look upon those thousands and thousands that are attending that mega church along the way. He recognizes and he values faithfulness over just sheer size. You know what? I believe with all my heart, God's going to have some special things in line in heaven for those pastors who have pastored the little small churches, 6 to 20 along the way, and they have been steadfast. You know, the pastor that not only preaches the gospel, but he stokes the stove and he cleans the floor and everything else. And sometimes he gets tired in the ministry and sometimes his strength gets minimal. But folks, let me tell you, if you were a part of that little church, God doesn't look at you any different than he does these major mega power churches. In fact, he may even look at you with a greater light because he realizes the limitations that you have being in number. But you notice this, what does it say? Faithfulness and obedience. You don't have to have great numbers to be faithful and to be obedient. In fact, that can be a one-man thing between you and God, to be faithful and to be obedient. And that's exactly what he asked us to do. Are we doing that personally, number one? Are we doing that as churches, number two? You see, his power is what compensates for our weakness. I love to say it that way. You know what? He says, he's telling Philadelphia, he says, yeah, you guys just have a little strength, but I got you on this. I got you back. My power is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you, and I will be faithful to pull you through. You see, in our lives, we should remain faithful and obedient to God's word, and trusting that he will uphold us even when we feel so weak that we can't even go forward. You know, I've mentioned before, I've been tired. I've been weary in the ministry, but I have never been tired or weary of the ministry. And there's a big difference between those, okay? So fourth question that that's often asked when we're looking at this text is this. It's like, what promises are given to the church at Philadelphia? Well, there's some things that we see there. Jesus promises protection during their trials. He promises them public acknowledgement, and he promises them eternal security through their identity with him. And you know what? He promises the same thing to you and I today. What were those? Just at least those three things. Protection during the trials. He says that he will acknowledge publicly us or our churches. And he says that he will provide eternal security through our identity with him. You know what? I know that I'm going to heaven. I know that when I trusted in Jesus that I got my ticket to the kingdom. And there's nothing that can ever take that away, okay? See, this encompasses both temporal protection and the assurance of eternal life. You know, sometimes people sit back and say, well, you know, I know there's a lot of things that are going to take place, when we get to heaven, but what about our time here? I think God gives us a lot of promises for the here and now as well as the hereafter after. And I believe those promises that he gives in Philadelphia encompass both temporal protection and the assurance of eternal life in the same promises that he gives to you and I as we live for him each and every day. You see, we're reminded to cling to our faith and our identity in Christ, knowing that his promises are unfailing and knowing that his promises are secure. So there's the promises that he's given them along the way, okay? And the promises that he gives us. All right, a fifth question that's often asked about this particular passage. It's like, you know, what is the expected action from the church as Jesus described it, okay? So what kind of action is he looking for? See, they are exhorted to hold on to what they have so that no one will take their crown. And he's sitting back saying, you know what, you may be small, you may be little, but you got something good going on. You need to hold on to it. You need to nurture it. You need to use it. And you need to protect it along the way. See, this indicates the necessity of steadfastness and perseverance in our faith. You know what, folks? I just want to go on record of saying this. I've been on record before. Quitting's easy. Too many people quit. It's easy. When the going gets tough, a lot of times people quit. Let me tell you, I will make this promise that living a Christian life as you should live it according to the Word of God is a difficult thing to do. You are going to have perseverance. There's going to be persecution that's going to come your way. There's going to be ridicule that will come your way. But will you persevere until the end? You know, I sit back and I think about the fact that we live in a world where 50% of marriages don't even make it. And that doesn't, that number, that 50% is true amongst believers in the same fashion that it is unbelievers. There's no differentiation between those two. You know, commitment should mean something. You know, we live in a world that commitment means absolutely nothing anymore. I was always brought up that a man was only as good as his word. If you give a man your word, then you need to back it up. Yeah, and the Lord gives us his word, you know. And so there's a necessity for the steadfastness and the perseverance of our faith. Folks, don't quit. Even when things get tough, even when you get tired, even when you feel like you can't put one foot in front of the other, when you feel like everybody is against you except God, continue to persevere. Put one foot in front of the other. See, we should diligently maintain our faith and actions in accordance with God's will, striving to preserve our testimony and our reward. You know what? It is so tough to build a good testimony, but it is extremely simple to tear one down. We need to be careful about what we say and what we do and where we go, because there's always somebody watching us, and our testimony is always at stake. Are we doing everything we can to protect that testimony, that the Lord might truly use us as instruments in his hand in the lives of the people that are part of our life? Are we going to persevere until the end? Interesting question. You see, the biblical truth derived from this lesson of the Church of Philadelphia is that Jesus offers us opportunities to serve and to witness And then he empowers us regardless of our limitations. Too many people sit back and say, well, I just have limitations. I can't do that. Stop saying you can't and start finding out. Start seeking God and say, Lord, I could say 1,000 reasons why I can't do this, but all I need is one. I need you to give me one that says I can, and I promise he will. You see, our consistent faithfulness and obedience are met with divine promise as well as security. Okay, so what can we do with this? I mean, what do we do with what we've learned today as we've answered some questions from the church at Philadelphia? Well, you can identify specific areas in your life where God might be opening a door of opportunity for service or a door of opportunity for witness, all right? As you pray about that, the Holy Spirit's going to show that to you, has probably been showing it to you as you have progressed to this point. You know, and once he shows you that, commit to praying for guidance and courage to walk through that door and seek accountability from a fellow believer to support you in this particular endeavor. See, we always do better when we know somebody is watching us. So if you share with a godly brother that you can trust and you say, hey, this is the person the Lord's put on my heart about witnessing to, I want you to hold me accountable. I'm giving you permission to come into my life and hold me accountable to witness to this person. And then you know what? You need to have that person in your life that's going to hold your feet to the fire. Who's going to say, hey, look, how's it going with witnessing to Joe or Sally or whoever? And you got to be honest with them. You also need that accountability partner that would say, hey, look, how's it going with witnessing to Joe and Sally? And you look at them and go, fine. And they go, you just lied to me, didn't you? That's an accountability partner right there, somebody who knows you. But man, think about what the Lord has done. He provided opportunities for the church at Philadelphia, and he provides opportunities for you and I today. Look for the open doors that he is providing. Look for divine appointments. I know we talked a little bit about divine appointments last week, and I'm mentioning those again. Look for what the Lord's doing in your life. There's no accident where you're going and who you're with and all these things. Look for those open doors to be used by the Father. And he'll even say to you, when you go to him and say, Lord, I'm not very strong, he'll say, I know you have a little strength, but I'm going to be the strength that you need to be able to get through this. Can you do that? I hope and trust and pray that you can. I'm going to go ahead and pray that God will give you the strength and that he will show you exactly what he wants you to do when it comes down to those doors in your life. But before I do, I want to go ahead and tell you what we're going to be looking at for next week. Next week, we're going to be looking at our final church in the study of the seven churches of Asia Minor out of the early chapters in the book of Revelation. Next week, I want you to specifically spend some time in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. And the last church in our series that we're going to look at is the church at Laodicea. So be studied up on that and ready to go. And we'll be looking forward to gathering around the Word next week at the same time as we come together for the Wednesday Bible study. Let me pray with you as we close out our time today. Father, as we come to you today, we're again thankful for the opportunities that you provide. Lord, I pray that even if we have missed this our whole lives, that you will help us to see that you are opening doors of opportunity in our lives. And Lord, help us to slow down and be attentive to the doors around us. Lord, even at times they may seem closed, help us to go up and check the doorknob to see if the door's unlocked. And then, Lord, give us the courage to be able to walk through the doors that you have opened for us, that we might be used for your honor, for your glory, and for the sake of the kingdom. Lord, we know that you did this back in the times of the Church of Philadelphia. And Father, we know that you also do that today. Help us, Lord, not to be so blind or ignorant that we miss what you've got out there in front of us. Father, give us a great week. Help us to look for the opportunities that you put in our face and the open doors, and we will praise you for it as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, again, thank you for taking this time to spend with us. I want to give you a personal invitation that if you happen to be in the Oak Ridge, North Carolina area, we would love to have you visit with us at Central Baptist Church. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge. We're right across from the Oak Ridge Military Academy, right across the road. That's Highway 68, right across from the Oak Ridge Military Academy. Our service times are at 10:45. We have other discipleship opportunities, including Sunday school, Awana for our children. We got all kinds of things going on that you can be a part of discipleship, and you can grow in God's grace as you spend that time with Him. If you show up, listen, be sure to come up, introduce yourself to me. I would love to have an opportunity to meet you, and I pray that we will see you this coming Sunday. God bless. Have a great week.